Okay, today's daf is daf Samach Tes and Maseches Ksubis, the last full daf of the sixth parak, and we continue talking about issues of the Nedunya, the dowry, which has been the topic of this most of this parak, along with a daf or so about the Inyan Itztaka, but that's really what this Mishnayos of this parak is about. So we start right on top of Samach Tes, Amud Aleph, and we are talking about sugyas of, again, Nedunya, which is called Parnasa in the Gemara. Talalei Rav L'Rebi Beinei Chiti. Rebi received a letter from Rav, and Rav hanged the question Bene Chite. What exactly does that mean? We'll see in a second, but what was the question? Ha'achid sheshibdu mahu. Brothers that owe, so to speak, the money of the Nedunya to give to their sister who's getting married. They were meshabed the property. What does that mean? Either it means they sold it, or it means that they designated it as a security for something else. But either way, that was the question. But even before we get to the question, what does this mean? That Rav hung the question to Rebbe Bene Chiti. So Rashi says, he sent him a letter of just hello, Shlomim. Vitala Shelazu Benashitin, and he was told this question, Benashitin, between the lines. Like he wrote the letter, and then because he forgot to write the Shaila on the letter, there was no more room, so he wrote it between the lines. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Tosfos quotes Rabbeinu Chananel, who says, Shelos Harbe Shalu, he asked him many questions, Vahayu Igros Tfuro Zubazu, and they were letters that were all sewn together. That's how they made sent letters, like a cloth that were sewn together. Ubeinosa Matviros Kazav Shelazu, and he needed some extra room, he didn't want to put on a whole separate cloth, so therefore he just wrote this letter in between. Okay, but according to any of these, there's nothing fundamental about this statement. The Rimi Gash quoted here in the Shid Mekubetz has also quotes that he ran out of room after he wrote the whole letter. He wanted to ask the Shaila, but one has to look in the Hafla to finally get a reason why this is in the Gemara. The Hafla very creatively says, no, there's a reason why he did this. Not, oh, he forgot. Oh, he wanted to squeeze it in. No, Rav was very worried in his day. Remember, in his day, Torah wasn't totally written down. Yet Rav wrote this question to Rebbe. Maybe Rebbe questioned whether the Mishnayos were organized yet. Machlokas Rishonim, whether they were organized, whether they were written down by Rebbe. But either way, Rav says the Hafla, Lo Ratza Lichtov Shelah. So he didn't want to write his question in the normal way. Because, Mishum Dekai Malan Dvarim Shebal Peh, Iyata Rashai Lichtov Bichsav. Because of the Isser, Meseches Gittin, you can't write down Torah Shebal Peh, and you can't say Torah Shebichsav Bal Peh. So we know, Hitiru, the Gemara in the Mishnah, the Brachas, Hitiru Mishum Eis Lasos Lashem. But Rav was still mocked for it. As we know, many of the greats, the Vilna Gaon, why he was so concise in all of his writings, the Rugged Shaver, because they were still choshes, that they only wanted to write down the minimum that was needed to write down in order to then for the person to understand. So Rav was also mockpit about this then. So that's why, what did Rav do? He wrote a letter about saying hello. Ubitochaksav, and in intermixed in the letter, Asa atzmo ki'ilu shachachaos. He made it as if he forgot certain letters, meaning he left out certain letters on purpose. And then he stuck in those letters a little bit raised up from the other letters that he had written originally. And if you put all of those letters that were raised up together, it spelled out the shayla of ha'achim shep. Ha'achim sheshibdu. But that's what he did at Bedafka. It wasn't stam, oh, he forgot. V'chein asa ha'ashe b'tziruv kala'osios ha'tzluyos ben ha'shitin ba'mitzuraf elu ha'tevos ha'achim sheshibdu mahu. V'kuf lamid, which probably means here, v'kal lahavid. But that's the beautiful pshat of the hafla. Hidafka did it on purpose because he was choshesh for the halacha of dvarim shebal peh, yet ha'rashal omen v'chtav. So he wrote it in a hinting way. So either way, this is the shayla that he sent him. Ha'achim sheshibdu mahu. Brothers, that they already were mishabed, the property that was supposed to go to the Nedunya is not around anymore. Either it was sold or it was designated for something else. So what's the halacha? Could the sister take it from the state that it's in now? Sabi Yosef, Reb Chiya Kamei, Reb Chiya was there when Rebbe got this letter. Amar Le, so he asked Rebbe, he says, what did Rav have in mind? Machru o Mishkano. Did he have in mind that if it was sold, what's the halacha? Or Mishkano, if they gave it as a security. Meaning it's still in the Rishus, right? It's just labeled, earmarked for some type of payment. So Amar Leisa, Rebbe says, "Am I nafkamina? What's the difference? Bein machro, bein shemishkino. Either way, there's no difference in halacha. Motzin leparnasa, mei motzin lemazonos. You are motzin leparnasa, right? The womb, the girl, because of the takanas bezdin of the dowry, right? As we said before, the how much has to be given, the iser nechasim, right? And if somebody's meisis pidostam, you have to have at least chamishim zuz, right? The that's what the we had in the Mishnah back on the Samach Zayin. But we're motzi, so you can be motzi from a sale, you can be motzi surely from mashkon. So v'rav, so he said, but v'rav, so what was Rav asking? Fine, that's the same halacha. I machro kami boyle nichtov le machro. I mishkino kami boyle nichtov le mishkino. Why didn't he specify what he was asking? So the Gemara answers, Rav travayo kami boyle. So Rabbi said, you know what? Rav must have been asking both questions. V'savar, and he said, I kasivna le machro. If I would have only written one of them, then I might not know, based on the answer, the halacha for the other one. So if I write an all-inclusive question, I'll get the answer. So here we go. If Rav had written macharo, meaning what happens if the brothers sold it, so hanicha, so then I would have known the answer by both if the answer had been ishalach le demotziin, if I would have said that she could be motziin from people who bought it, kol shekein mishkano, so surely if it wasn't bought or out of the possession yet, it was just earmarked, so surely she could take it, because that's semi still in their reshus. So if you would have sent back motziin, fine, but ishalach lein motziin, but if you would have sent back to the question of sold, that you're not motzi, akadim mashkanon kami boile. So he would have still had a question of mashkano, are you motzi? Do you say ein motziin by mashkano also, or not? Or do you say you're motzi because it's still in the rishus? And the other way, I kasivna le mishkano, if he would have asked me mishkano, that what's the shaila if they earmarked it for something, so ishalach li de ein motziin, if I would have given back, but you're not motzi it by theirs, kol shekein machar, so surely if it was already sold, you're not motzi it. So then he would have known the answer to both questions. But ishalach li motziin, but if he would have gotten the answer of you're motzi by mashkano, so akati machro kami baile. I wouldn't have known. What about machro, where it's totally sold already? I wouldn't have had the answer. So therefore, this is what Rav did. Echtov le. So that's why he wrote to him. Shibdo de mashmachi mashmachi. Right, which includes both. And that's why he was able to get the answer to both questions. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan argues. He says, echad echazeh, whether it's for parnasa, meaning for the nedunya, or for its mizonos, ein motzi, and we are not motzi, right? Arguing on Rebbe. Rebbe had answered, we are motzi la parnasa, but we're not motzi for mizonos. The Ritva here asks, why didn't, he would have, Ritva says there's a possibility, at least he quotes this shaila. He says, yesh makshim. He says, there's a possibility for him to have gotten the answer, even if he would have written one of the lesser inclusive lashonos. Yesh makshim. Da amaymi boile machro. Why would he have to ask machro if it's sold? Di bimishkino omar le motziyad bini chusa. What do we say? If he wrote mishkino, if he asked mishkino, so the Gemara says that he might not have known, might not have known everything. Why? Because if he says mishkano, and if he would have answered him motziin, maybe you wouldn't have been motzi by mechro. But 1 second, says the Ritva, even mishkano amrle motziin b'nichusa, but by mishkano, if he would have answered him nicely, not angrily, we would have said motzi by mishkano, mechal demachro emotzi, and it must be that it was a good shaila, and if it would be anything more than this, you wouldn't be motzi. De'ibe machro nami motzin, because if you would be motzi even for mishkano, and that's the answer, merzach havirazach, he would have gotten angry at him. He would have screamed at him in the letter. Right, so why wouldn't he been able to be medayik based on the tone of the letter? Right, so even if, is it a good question, and if I'm answering you this, you can be medayik the opposite by mechira or not? And the answer that he quotes as these Yesh Makshim give is, no, it's not something that he would get angry about. Not such a davar pashut. Umetartim delo adiv kulei hai machro tfei mishkano deler sak lahachi. It wouldn't be such a terrible thing to have asked that question. That's what he quotes. But then the Ritva himself says the whole question doesn't get off the ground. Avali nira de kushim eikara lesa. Why? De rischa lo minkara bemilsa da asya b'ksifa. You can't always tell somebody's mood by the writing. Even if somebody's upset, you can't always tell. Right, Vahacha, Piaksaba immediately was answering by a letter. Because the real communication is only face to face. right? Even let's say somebody, what do we even say bizman azeh? We say that, oh, I don't want to call them, I don't want to speak to them, I'll send them a text. I'll send them an email. Why do we do that? Because we understand that there is a difference in the level of communication. And whether it's the mood, whether it's the length of the conversation, of the communication, right, that we have to realize that. So that's what the Rif is emphasizing here. So therefore, you wouldn't have been able to medike anything from the letter. Because angry, not angry, doesn't make a difference in our day. And we have to realize that in the positive way. That if we want to create communication, and we want to create connection, you know, so then that is something that we have to actually have pale pet, right? Misaver panim yafas. You can't have a saver panim yafas, even if I press the smiley on the letter on the SMS, you know, that's not the same as giving somebody a smile. I don't think that's a key of the mission in Pirkei Avos of Makabalas Kaladim Misaver Panim Yafas. We have to realize that, as the experts say, right, much of today's communication is communication without connection. Right, then it's we have to realize that we have to do our best. That's the musa we get from this ritva, that moods and tones are only face to face, and therefore we have to try to use that. Okay, Ibai Luhu, says the Gemara now right in the middle. L'Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan held by both Parnassa and Mazonos, you're not motzi. Let's say if the brothers sold it, you're not motzi, it's too late, the takana is not so strong. But Rabbi had said, you are motzi for Parnassa. See by Luhu, L'Rabbi Yochanan lo shami lehad the Rabbi? Is it that he wanted to, he did not know what Rebbe said, but if he would have known what Rebbe said, he would have been mekabelet, and he would have agreed to Rebbe as motzian. Odilma, no, shamile lo mekabele, or he heard about it, but he argued. Rabbi Yochanan was a very early Amora, right? Maybe Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara sometimes says, Rav Tanu Palag, Rabbi Yochanan was also on the border, right? Rabbi Yochanan might have also been able to argue. Maybe he would have had a different Tana that holds like him, but he would have been able to argue. It's a quote discussed many times, the discussion of Amoraim arguing on Tanoim, whether they wouldn't or they couldn't. And it's even unclear in the language of the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah in the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, second parak or so, discusses this idea, and he says, well, the Amoraim realized that the MS was with the Tanoim, and therefore they accepted not to argue. So what does that mean? The Chazon Ish says, you know what they accepted means? It means it's usur. Because if you know that the emes is with the earlier generation, so it's usur for you to argue. They accepted, and that became an isser. Reb Chaim wasn't so convinced. Reb Chaim, Reb Chanan quotes Reb Chaim in the Kovet Shiurim, who says, no, it means that they wouldn't. Not that they couldn't. And like the Rambam says, every Bezdin could argue on the previous Bezdin in certain areas, maybe not for Xeris, but for certain areas. So Rabbi Yochanan has that powers. That's the Gemara's Shaila here. Did Rabbi Yochanan not hear of Rebbe's Shita about Motzi and Leparnasa, but if he would have heard of it, he would have retracted his Shita? Or no, he did hear about it, then he didn't accept it, he argued. So Toshma, says the Gemara, to Itmar, let's try to prove it, the following statement, Misha meis v'hiniach shtei banos v'ben. Somebody died, and he had three children, he had two daughters and a son. And what happened? V'kadma harishod of another Eastern Achasim. The first one took Eastern Achasim. The first one was getting married, and she took Eastern Achasim. And v'lo espika shnia ligvot hachemeis haben. And the second, right, the second daughter was going to get married, but then the son died. So the son died. So what happens now? All of the Yerusha goes to the two daughters. Right? We know where there's no ben ein lo. That's what b'dos slavchad pashas pinchas. It goes to the daughters. So now the daughters are going to get everything. So does the daughter, the second daughter, first take Eastern nechasim before the Yerusha estate is split up evenly, or no? Or we just split it up evenly? So I'm Rabbi Yochanan shnia vitra. Rabbi Yochanan says the second one, not on her own volition, but we say she is mevateres. We just split the whole Yerusha down the middle. We don't first give her Eser Nechasim. Am Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Chanina says, when Rabbi Yochanan says, Shnia Vitra, G'dolim Yizu Amru. What do you mean? Rabbi Chanina says, even in a greater Chiddush application, we say she does get Eser Nechasim. So how could you say not? G'dolim Yizu Amru, Motziyim L'Parnasa Ve'im Motziyim L'Mazonos. We even take it out from Lekuchos to give her parnasa, but not from Mazonos, but we even take it out from Lekuchos. But Ata Amr Shnia Vitra, here it's sitting in front of her, and she's not going to get it? How could you say that? So Rabbi Chanina argued with Rabbi Yochanan. That's the story. So now we're going to be medayik by the fact that Rabbi Yochanan didn't answer. So, the Im Isa, and if it's true that Rabbi Yochanan had heard and had never heard of the Psak of Rebbe before. So when he heard this from Rebbe Chanina, he should have said, "Wow, I never knew that." Name Alei Manamar. He should have said, "Wow, who said that?" But he didn't. So it's as if he knew it, like he wasn't surprised, and he had argued against it. Vidilma, and that's why it must be that the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan knew about it, and he argued on it. Says the Gemara, really? Vidilma la'olam lo shamulei. Maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan had never heard of it. V'chi shamulei kabel, and if he would have heard of it, he would have been mekabel. V'shani asam di'ika revach besa. That case is different. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan says usually yes. Right, you're motzi. But here she has half the estate. She has a ton of stuff, so she doesn't need a separate Isur Nechasim. What was the takana of Isur Nechasim for if a girl's not going to have so much money going into the marriage and therefore want to make sure she has? But here she's getting half of her father's estate. So there's plenty to go around. Revach Mesa. So that's why the takana would not apply in this case. Amalei Rav Yemel Rav Ashi El Meata. What? So you're telling me every time she has a ton of money, the takana doesn't apply? Ashecha Metzia Ba'alma. What if she finds a huge Metzia? Or she wins the lottery? What if she gets something amazing? She's very affluent. De'ika Revach Besa. There's plenty of the to go around of in the property. Hakan Amidul Yavina Leisur Nechasim. Based on her tax bracket, she wouldn't get Isur Nechasim. Is that what we say? It's all subjective? So Mara says, no, Amarle, Ana Revach Besa Mehani Nichse Ka'amina. No, if she just gets it from an external source, that's not included. But it's saying from her father. The Nedunya comes from her father. So here she got a lot from her father. Much more than Isur Nechasim. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't take it, wouldn't say it here. But it could be that he had never heard of it. Never heard of it before. Tosfos here, the little Tosfos, has a suffix. What if the father's estate is very small? Let's say less than Isur Nechasim altogether. Yesh lehistapek echa de'ika eser banos. Deleka revach besamau. If there are a lot of daughters or a little estate. So Tosfos has that suffix. Do you say the opposite? Or Rabbi Yochanan said if there's revach besa mehani nichsi, so then she does not get. But what if there's not revach besa? Right? Do we say that you don't give the Yerusha in that case normally? Rav Adi Yosef many times throughout his tshuvas uses this type of lashon, like the Gemara says here. The Rabbi Yochanan, if Rabbi Yochanan would have known about it, he would have changed his mind. So the Gemara, Rav Adi would say, if the Shulchan Aruch knew these 14 Rishonim that I found that he didn't have, he would have changed his mind. That Rav Adi even goes as far as something's paskening like that. Not because Rav Adi would never paskin against the Maran Beit Yosef, but he would say, but if he would have known this, he would have paskin this way too. That's a derech that he has, like the Gemara says here. The Ritva again here is medayik, that the case given is where there are two daughters and a son. What does the son have to do with anything? Why can't it just be two daughters? Right. So the son died. Why can't it just be a case of two daughters? Says the Ritva, v'dafka nokta bahachi. Shila lo hiniach ben klal. If there was no son, ein kan parnasa klal. The Yarsha's ninu. Then, if the whole thing, if Isur Nechasim was never on the table, when there was a son, so then Isur Nechasim was on the table because the son's going to be the Yorish. But if Isur Nechasim was never on the table, there was never a son here, ain't kan parnasa klal, there's no such thing as Nadunya, the Yarsha's ninu, because they each are Yorish, half the property. V'yavo b'shehisi ha'achas b'chayav, and even if the father married off one of the daughters while he was alive and gave her a certain amount, Ein l'shniya lito kashirahu. We don't say the second one automatically gets that. Why? The matana ba'almu diavlaviyah. We could say that the father gave matana because after all of this property is hers and was going to her. It was a yerusha for her. So therefore, says the Ritva, it was dafka case where there was a general idea of Isur Nechasim, but then it was removed because the son died. Okay, let's continue. So now we get into some of the lumdis of this takana. We know there's not only lumdis in the din and daraisa, but even the rabbanim. When the rabbanim create a certain din, so the question is, what status did they give it? We had before baal binichse ishto. Is he a lokeach? Is he a yoresh? So here we have the question. Amar amemar, third wide line. Bas yoreshes havi, the daughter that is allowed to take Isur Nechasim for the nedunya to go into the marriage, what is she considered? So Amemar says, Bas yoreshes havi. She is considered a yoreshes. Rashi says, Isur Nechasim shetiknula b'toras Yerusha takinula. They were misaking it as a Yerusha. And there are two important nafkaminas based on that, as we're about to see. Amalei Rav Ashi la Amemar, ilubay l'saluke bezuze hakanami d'lamatzi l'saluka. You're telling me that if the brothers want to give her money, and just be misaliker instead of a set of land. They can't be misaliker because she has hands on all of the estate because it's like Yerusha. Amalei in. So Amira says yes. So where it says again, Iboy, Amira, the second question Rav Ashi asked, Iboy l'sluki b'chada arif. They wanted to designate her one piece of land. Hakan Abdul Masi misalikla. They can't do that either. Amalei in. Correct. So Amira says in both cases correct. Asks the Shin Mukubetzis. Doesn't Rav Ashi know the halacha of Yerusha? What was he asking Amemar? Once Amemar said that she's Yoresha's Havi, then obviously they can't give her money and remove her, and they can't give her one piece of land. So what's he asking? And also, asked the Shita, once the first question was answered, maybe you're asking, is it really? Are you serious? And once he gives the answer to the first question, so why don't you say that the answer to the second question should be known? So says the Shita right here, Mashmud Rav Ashi Shail Ma'amemar Pirish Dvarav. So Mashmud Rav Ashi just asking Ma'amemar, what's the pshat of your words? Delamai nafkemina havi yorsha. So the lesson, that can't be. De pshita delahachi havi yoreshes. It's obvious, says the Shita, that this is an nafkemina of yoreshes. Delo matzi l'sluki bezuz ekidin yoreshes. Va'od, de me'achar, de omarle in Allah. My deshalmin elin yisilik zuze. Once a Amemar answered regarding the first shayla, my su shalmin elin yisiluki bechadara havade dechadem milsahave. What's the, so? Why did he ask the first question? But for sure, once he asked the first question, you know the answer to the second question. So the kach nira again. The shita has an important yisod. We have a couple of yisodos in lumdus today that gives us hashkafic nuggets as well. So we have the idea before that we had in terms of anger. And anger and moods cannot be seen based on ksav. And now we have another one. Lakach niras. You know what Rav Ashi was asking Amemar? Rav Ashi was saying, but nobody does that today. Your reshes havi? Are you serious that they would give him the money? Rav Ashi kametame alei da Amemar otu lefid varecha ilu bayle saluke velo matzanu misha don kein baolam. Nobody does that today. Via hadili. You know what Amemar answers? So what? In. So what? Okay, nobody does it. But this is the halacha. This is halacha, meaning he's telling Rav Ashi, you can't always go by what you see. Just because everybody does something doesn't mean it's right. There is a concept in halacha of pukchazi mayam adbar. The Gemara uses that, though, in a very limited way. The Gemara doesn't say, is it us or a mutter? Right? The Gemara says, if you're not sure about something, if there's a suffix about something, and they're at stud and lakan and lakan, so we say Yisrael kedoshim heim and mistama. What they have been doing is something that is correct. But if there's something wrong in halacha, you don't always say, oh, okay, you could try to find defenses, like the Aruch HaShulchan classically always tries to find defenses for Klal Yisrael in different areas. One much misquoted defense that the Aruch HaShulchan gives is in terms of a woman covering her hair, which we'll get to in 3 days from now. Right, the major sugi and shas is right coming up on Daf Ayin Beis. But the Aruch HaShulchan, we'll repeat this then, Be'ez Hashem, we'll mention it now too. The Aruch HaShulchan says that Bizman Hazeh, because many women out there in the world do not cover their hair, so hair of a woman is not called Erva Lagabe Kriyas Shema. If somebody says Kriyas Shema in front of a woman whose head is not covered, that's not called Erva. Fine. But he does not say, that's misquoted often as saying that, Aruch HaShulchan says a woman does not have to cover her hair. That's not true. That's not what he says. He defends Klal Yisrael and says, it must be that, because he doesn't defend that they go against Halacha. Right, sometimes when he feels that people are wrong, he screams and says people are wrong. By Chol of Yisrael, he screams. People have to be makban on Chol of Yisrael. By Shalashudis, says people have to be makban, to eat bread for Shalashudis. Right, none of this bidi evitz. But there he says, people say Kriya Shema in front of a woman's not her hair covered, it's okay. It doesn't have the status of Erva. So sometimes we find that we say Pukhazi, but in cases where we're not, the halacha says one way, so then we can't say that, people do it, so therefore it must be correct. Well, we find this in many areas of halacha. The balance of go out and see what people are doing versus, no, this is the halacha. The Tzitz Eliezer also has a tshuva. In Yonat Yoma, we just had Yontif. Tzitz Eliezer writes, related to a tshuva of Rav Yaakov Emden, Rishelis Yavitz writes in the tshuva, that he thinks that the minhag of women making shechianu when they light candles for Yantiv is incorrect. He says, you never find this anywhere. You never find this in Shas. You never find this in the Shulchan Aruch. Right? Where do you see that women should light make shachiyana when they light Hanukkah Shabbos candles? Excuse me, Yontif candles. Right? So it's amazing. That ha'ara is amazing. That it's nowhere in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch quotes shachiyana by Kiddush, not by Halakas Neiros. So he says it's not really Yontif yet. They should wake. There'd be Yotze with the Kiddush once. He's against, but he writes in there he couldn't even stop his wife from doing it. He says, "I'm. What can I do?" Right? Hanachlohem. The Tzitzit Eliezer says, "No, Chas v'Shalom, Puk Chazi. Women for generations and generations have been lighting Yontif candles and making Shechyanu. This is their mitzvah. They are psyched. They are focused. This is their mitzvah. There's no greater mitzvah that symbolizes women's connection to Yontif than Halakas Neiros. Let them and be mechazik them and tell them it's great. Not dafka that, it shouldn't be done. You have nothing against it. You have no raya against it." So that's an example of Pukhazi, but not, again, but it's the balance you find between the two. Okay, so that is all Amemar. Amemar holds that in this Takana, Bas is a Yoreshes. And now we are going to get to the other Shita of Ravashi. Ravashi Yomar, Bas Ba'alas Chov Havi. Ravashi says the daughter is a Ba'alas Chov. She's not called a Yoreshes. She's owed money, a Ba'alas Chov. And therefore, she would be able to, or have to, accept the money that the brothers give her, and or the piece of land that they would offer her. V'yafa meimer hadarbe, and the Gemara says that a meimer also was chozer from his shita. Damar of Minyome, parei de Rav Nechume, havi ki'im nakame da meimer, I was in front of a meimer, v'asai hai itza lakame, da havis kabaya iser nechasim. There was a woman that came in front of us that wanted the iser nechasim, she wanted her dowry. V'chazisi ladaiti, and I noticed, and I realized from his das, the boy l'sluki bezuze havi mesalikla, that if the brothers would have offered p'mesalik u'zuze, they would have been able to, and he would have said fine, right, meaning ba'alas chov. Why? How do I know that? The Shami Me'achi, I heard from the brothers. They were talking in front of the Dayan. Davi Ka'amrila, they said to her, Ilu Havalon Zuze, if we would have money. Salikna, they didn't have cash. If they would have enough cash. If we would have money, Salikna Bezuze, we would remove you with Zuz, with money. The Ishtik and Amemar was quiet. V'lo Amrlo V'lo Midi. And Amemar didn't say a word. So it must be that that was true. And it would have worked had they wanted to do it. And that is why, that's how you know Amemar was Chozer. Tosva says that you learn from here. You see from here a very important rule. Says Rabbeinu Tam, Mikan Rogo Rabbeinu Tam, Kshay Yoshev Badin, when Rabbeinu Tam was a judge, V'echon Mibali Dinim Megazem L'chaveiro, and one of the Bali Dinim is exaggerating, is threatening their friend, V'yomer Kach V'kach T'tchayev Li Badin, and this is what's going to happen, that's what's going to happen, if I could do this, Haya Rabbeinu Tam, Rogel Haya Rabbeinu Tam, Lomar Sheker Ato Dover. Rabbeinu Tam, if any of the parties would say something false to the other party, Rabbeinu Tam would say that's not true. Ki lo yitchayiv, she'im ein lo ledayon, he says you wouldn't be chayiv, meaning he would undo the threat that one of the parties made. She'im ein lo ledayon lo markim, because if the dayon wouldn't have to, then there's no proof from here. Ma ha'yimochiach rab minyomi, mi de'ishtik ha'meimar. Maybe ha'meimar was just like staying out of it, and he was letting them fight it out, even if what one of them was saying wasn't true. But he didn't say that. So it must be that a dayan has that responsibility, and that's how they were medayik here, that Amemar was chozer bo. That's Tosas. If you look in the Shram Tzion Balacha here, also discusses this idea, quoting other Tshuva Svarim, like how much does the dayan have to get involved in a case if it's nothing to do with him? Just the parties that are talking amongst themselves, how much do they have to get involved? Says the Shram Tzion Balacha, he says, based on this idea, we have a new understanding of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says in the first parak, "Havi zahir bidvarecha." A Talmid Chacham has to be careful in his words. Shema mitocham yilmedu l'shaker. Maybe from your words, the parties will learn. Right? They'll see from your intonations. They'll see from your emphasis. They'll see from your facial expressions. So not only from your words. That's what the Mishnah says. But says the Sharm Mesiyon Balacha here, Lav Dafka Tzorach Lizar B'Dvarim, El Tzorach Nami Shlo Lishtok, Kshish B'Dvarim Shein Okein. You have to be careful in your shtika. That's what this Gemara says. Not only in the Dvarim of a Dayan, but even in the shtika of a Dayan. You have to be careful about that. Right? That's what when it comes sometimes you have to say some things, even though it says in the first parak, Lo Matzasi Guf Tov Yosem Ishtika, the greatest Mida Ishtika, but sometimes it's not true. Right? The Gemara says in Chulon, Adaf Peites, Ma Umunaso Shel Adam Ba'olam Hazeh, Yaseh Atzmo Ki'ilem. What should a person do in Olam Hazeh? Make himself like a mute, not to talk too much. Yochol Af L'Divrei Torah Kein, What you, I might think even for Divrei Torah, Tamal Omar, Tzedek Tedaberun, the Pasuk says in Tehillim. When it comes to Tzedek, when it comes to Torah, when it comes to mitzvos, so then you do talk. Hare kol shenogeh ha'inyan l'divrei Torah, lo yishtok alatzorach l'daber v'tzedek uve'emes. Right? The Gemara, Beshtik, is talking about non-Talmud Torah. Right? But this is talking about Talmud Torah. Along these lines, we like to quote the beautiful Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos, also in Pirkei Avos, on that Mishnah, Lo Matasi Guftof Ela Shtika. The Rambam says there that everything that we say in life, every word that comes out of our mouth, can be put into one of five categories. One of five categories. Very powerful Rambam. Because note that every word that we say in life, after 120 years, it's going to be Mechulak. There's going to be a list in Shemayim of everything we said. Five things. Number one is something that is the best, meaning mitzvah, Kriyas HaTorah, Talmud Torah, V'dibarta Ba, all things that we have to do, mitzvos. That's category number one. Category number two is the opposite, Isurim, Eidus Sheker, Rechilus, Lashon Hara, Gidufim. Right, that's number two. Navlus Peh, Lashon Hara. Right, that's number two, the other extreme. Then we have number three. He says, Hadibur HaMiruchak, the dibur that we should stay away from. Dibur she'ein bo to'eles la'adam atzmo. Something that we don't get something out of. Lo mashmoz v'lo meri. Gon rov sipurei amonim ma'ira mahaya. Stam, schmoozing. Stam gossip. Not in a way that's usher, that about other people, but stam. That's what he calls dibur meruchak. That is category three. Category four, he says, it's not mitzvah, but things that are good, that should be, where he talks about philosophy, and he talks about positive sheva chachamim sipur chashivus maloseihem, stories about gdolim, other science issues. That's number four. And then number five, he says, is divrei rishus, meaning things that you need to live. You know, business, talking in business, and talking about who's picking up the kids and the carpool and the shopping and stop. It's called tzrachav. Right, I'm going to the bathroom. I'm going to this. I'm going out to shovel. You know, whatever it is, whatever that those are divrei rishus. Einenu lo ratzui v'lo meruchak. Fine, those are the five categories of speech. When we talk about shtika and dibur, so the Shalom Sayyidina Balacha here puts our Gemara connected to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos about Havizar B'dvarecha, and to say it means even Havizar B'shtika Secha, we have to realize the balance of shtika and dibur in our lives. Okay, so let's continue. Vahashta, right in the middle of the wide lines, Vahashta da Amir Ba'al Eschov Havi, now that we said that she is considered a Ba'al Eschov, so Da'aba o Da'achi, whose Ba'al Eschov is she? So she's owed the money. When Chazal were mesakin it, is she owed the money from the father, or is she owed the money from the brothers? L'may nafkaminos, there's a nafkamina for this too, L'migva l'benonis shelo b'shvua v'ziburis b'shvua. Nafkamina is, we know, I'm going to learn in the Mishnah later on, in this Masechta, when somebody collects a bal a chov or even a ksuba from the person himself, so he doesn't have to collect, if he has the shtar, he doesn't have to collect with a shvua. But if the person's not there, habal ligvos minichsei yisomim, so you're only allowed to collect with a shvua, and you also only get ziburis, the worst type of land, and afbenon is the medium type of land. That's an afkamina. If it's the father's, and she's getting it from the brothers, then you have only with a shvua and ziburis. If it's the brothers, so then she gets benonis without a shvua. So what is the halacha here? So tashma, so we prove that, de Ravina, agve labarte de Rav Ashi, Ravina collected for the daughter of Rav Ashi, mimar bere de Rav Ashi, from her brother, right? The daughter of Rav Ashi collected from the mar bere de Rav Ashi, benonis shlo b'shvua. So you see, Ravina gave to the daughter of Ravashi, Benes that Ashwas. You see, she's the Baal Eschov of the brother. Mibre de Rav Sama, and it continued, Mibre de Rav Sama Bre de Ravashi, but then he died, so he had to collect, he allowed to collect the grandson. The son of Rav Sama, who was the son of Ravashi, Ziburis Beshvua, because that's the Yorish of her. So that's why the, I'm sorry, Yorish of the other brothers. So that's why when, but it's, but it proves either way, when it's the brothers themselves that are giving it, it's Bein Shlo B'Shua, because she's the Ba'al Aschov of them. That's how Chazal enacted it. Vaiter, Shalach Le'Rav Nechemya, Breder of Yosef, L'Rabba Barav, Hunazuta, Minaharda, he sent, Ki Asya Hai Itza, L'Kamach, when this woman comes to you, Agvi Isenuchasim, give her Isenuchasim, Afilu Mi'Istarobla, even from the Itztarobla. What's that? That's the bottom of the mill. Rashi says, Moshev Amas Arichaim, the batter of the grinder, Kemoshehain, Umikarkoi Chashivlu. It's considered karka, meaning Meikar Adin, as we know, all of these are collected, Parnasa, Mezonos, Vechulu, from karka and not metaltal. And even though the Takanes HaGaonim, which we mentioned a few times already, where was a quote of Beferish? Quote of Beferish, earlier on Daf, Nun Aleph Amid Aleph, Tosfos quotes Bizman Azeh, right, the Takanas HaGaonim and the Rif and the Rambam, all quote it in all the different contexts. So he says, but Meikar Adin, where it's only collected from Karka, so you could collect it. This is already considered Karka from the Kli that sits on the ground. That's considered Karka. Also, you could collect her Isur Nechasim from that. Amar of Ashi, Ki Avina Beirav Kahana, Havi Makvina, Afilu Me Amla Debeisei. He even collected from the Amla Debeisei, the rent that was paid for a house. That also comes from something that's Karka. Rashi says, Schirus Habata Mi Makarkoi Kaasi. That's also connected enough to Karka. And this is, again, even at a time when they only was Karka, before the Takanas HaGaonim, this was enough. Tosfos is bothered exactly what type of rental money are we talking about. Tosfos says, the Im Tomar, Hey Chidami, what are we talking about? Ibis Chiris Yavam and Abatim, if it's money that's going to come from houses, so Pshita Chetorefes, surely that's called Karka. If they didn't collect it yet and they're going to get it, so it's money that comes from houses, which are mechubel karka, so of course that works. And if it's paid already, then that's money. That's for sure no good. So what are we talking about here that he says you could collect it from either from Amla Debeise? Either it's obvious or it's wrong. The Yesh Lomar says to Osvez, maybe we're talking about here that it was not collected yet, but it was owed already. Meaning maybe she, so they rented it out for a year, and half a year went by. So, you might say, well, if it's owed already, it's as if it's collected, and kolomi libas kagavi dami, and therefore it's already considered metaltalin, no good. Says Tosfos, no. That's the chiddush here, that's what the Gemara is saying. V'avagat tekfar nischayiv amasha amad bebayis, gove velo chashim metaltali, dischiris enem ishtalem es elabasov. Shas topic, schiris is only owed at the end of the schiris. We don't say it's incremental. Every moment, every day that I'm in a rental agreement, I owe every day the percentage of that day. No, it's only mishtalem es elabasov, and therefore even if the person had half the rental time already, it is considered karka. It's also an important line on the Itztarubla line. Right, read this Itztarubla, okay, the bottom of the mill, what does that have to do with me? So the Sharma Siyana Balacha again here notes is maybe this is related to the issue of Tfilas Kalim. We know Rav Moshe has a tshuva from a number of years ago. Rav Moshe in the first Chelik of Yerodeya has a tshuva from 1957. Tavshin Tezayin, where he talks about toasters and electrical Kalim, that the bottom of them have electrical parts and they can't really be tovel. So what do you do with that type of kli? With our kalim shemavashlim ba'lektri she'efshar latovlam, you can't be tovel them. Mishum shemakom alektri ein lahavi b'mayim she'is kalko. It'll get ruined. Hine says Rav Moshe. This is a big topic, right? The toveling electrical or the need or no need. Hine so says Rav Moshe. Imem kalim she'in nosnim aleim amachal atzmo. If it's a kli that you never put the food itself, elanosin sham kedera acheres. But you put another pot on top of it, that for sure ain't tzarech tefila. If you have a burner, you don't have to tovel a burner. Of course not. Why? Because there's no food that goes on it. You put a pot on the burner. You don't put anything else on the burner. That for sure does not need. Only something that touches the food. As we know, there's a difference between, let's say, a corkscrew, a can opener, and a peeler. Right? Anything that's not supposed to touch the food, a corkscrew is not supposed to touch the wine. It's supposed to take the cork out. Right? Or a can opener is not supposed to touch the food. It's supposed to open the can. So Meikar Adin, those do not need tefillah. A peeler touches the food. A peeler needs. So Rav Moshe says, if there's a kli that does not touch the food, if it sure does not need. Ela osa kadeira sheba amachal mishum shukamo ha tripods sheba yaradeya. So first of all, it only has to be something that touches the food. But says Moshe, so what do you do here if you have electrical? So says Moshe, this was the case then. If the electrical part is in a separate extension of the kli, like certain old urns had the electrical part on the bottom and the kli was on top. So Moshe says, if you give me machalik between those two, so you might be able to say the top of it is the kli, the bottom part is just something else. Or Moshe has this chiddush that even though it looks like one big kli, you only have to tovel the place where the food goes. And even though it's one kli, you don't have to be told for the whole thing. The electrical part is not called the kli suda. It's like two different kelim. So what about the makam achibor? Isn't that a chatzitza? Who bedin beis astarim sheina chotzis bekelim? Ramosha says it's based on starim, so it does not need tefillah. Unbelievable chiddush. Again, this I'm not paskening, I'm just reading the tshuva, but the Shamsian Balacha says maybe our it's tarobla is similar to that idea. It's the bottom of the mill that sits, that's mechubal karka. The top part of the mill is what you use to for the food, for the grinding. The bottom is what sits on the ground, the heavy thing, right? So that's why mechubal karka and mechubal karka. Again, it's a big topic if somebody, let's say George Foreman's and other types of kalim, that some people are nervous to tovel because it's going to get ruined, and there is a limit. We said before, to do a mitzvah, you don't have, if the kli is going to break, then memela, there's no chiyuv to do tefillah because you don't have to give more than 20% for the mitzvah. And here, if you're going to ruin the whole kli, you're giving everything 100%. So that is a big discussion. One should ask the local posek what exactly to do in this situation. Do you have the ability to tovel only the part of the kli that touches the food, like the case of Ramosha? Do you have the ability not to tovel it because of the hamavaz base? There are some even poskim, a number of poskim, in the minority, but a number of poskim that say if it's a kli that only can be used when it is plugged in, then it's called karka because it's always only a kli when it's mechubala karka. When it's not plugged in, it's not a kli. It's useless. So some say you have that hatter. So again, this is a big topic. But yesh makom lahakel, if one wants to tovel it, if one doesn't want to tovel it, there are poskim on both sides of the issue. Okay, let's continue. Shalach le, about 8 lines up. Shalach le Rav Anan le Rav Huna, Huna chavrein shlam. Rav Anan says a letter to Rav Huna, without calling him Rav Huna. Huna chavrein shlam, my friend Huna, peace. When this woman comes to you, make sure you give her Isur Nechasim. I can vouch for her. So let's read the whole story and then we'll comment. Havi Yosef Rav Sheshes Kamei. Rav Sheshes was in front of Rav Huna when he got the letter. Amarle, Zile Male. So Rav Huna was very upset how Rav Anan addressed him. He didn't call him Rav Huna, he just called him Huna. So he was very upset, which we'll talk about why in a minute. But he says, so he tells his Talmud Rav Sheshes, go return the letter. Zil Emele, Ubishamta Yeheman Talo Amrele. And I excommunicate you if you don't repeat exactly my words to him. Anan, Anan. Mi Mekarkoyo Mi Metaltali. Right, go back to Rav Anan and call him Anan, Anan. Do you want me to collect for her Karko or Metaltalin? And ask him, Uman Yosef Beimar Zicha Beresha. And who sits in a Beimar Zicha at the head of the table? He purposely asked him this difficult word, knowing that he might not know what it is. So, Azar Rav Sheshes Kamei de Rav Anan. Rav Sheshes goes to Rav Anan. Amarle, Mar Rabba Rav Huna Rabbe de Rabba. So, he's basically giving an excuse of why he has to repeat exactly what he was told to say. He says, you're great, and Rav Huna is your Rebbe. Vishamute Shamis Mandala Amarle. And I'm going to be in Chayim if I don't say this. That's the only reason I'm saying this to you. Vilav the Shamis Lo Avikamina. If I wouldn't be in Chayim because of this, I wouldn't say it to you. And here he goes. Anan anan mi makarkoyo mi metaltali uman yasid be marzicha bereisha. Right, that's what I have to do. The Ritva here notes that a rav must be allowed to be mishamet even on a dvar reshus if he thinks it's a lack of kavanah Torah. The Ritva says it must be that he's allowed to do that because here it's a dvar reshus, just how he called him, and he's mishamet. It must be that a rav is allowed to be mishamet on a dvar reshus. Right, Tosfos also here discusses. We know from other gemaras that a nidoy, even if it's al tnai, you need to be made for it. You know that from Yehuda. So here there wasn't an afara done. Okay, either way, Azal Rav Anan lekamei de Marukva. Rav Anan goes to Marukva and says, Amalei chazi mar heki shalach le Rav Huna anan anan. Right, so he says, well, how would a Rav Huna do here? What he talked like this to me? He didn't know what he did wrong. Va'od, and also Marzicha the Shalach li lo idan amenio, and I don't even understand his second question. He asked Mar Ukva, who we had about a couple of days ago, who jumped into the oven. So Amar Lei, so Mar Ukva says, Amy Lee easy gufa de uv de hechi havi. Tell me exactly what happened. Tell me the story. Tell me the first letter. I don't want to only just comment about the second letter. Armalei haki v'haki avi ma'isa. He says so and so. This is what I wrote to him. This is what he wrote back to me. Armalei. So Markva says, Gavra de lo yada ma'niu marzicha. You don't even know a question that he's going to ask. Sholach lei l'Rav Huna Huna Chavrin. So meaning you addressed him incorrectly, right? You didn't give him the proper kavod. That's why he got upset. Why did Rav Huna get so upset here? Right, why did he get so upset here? Second of all, why did he send him this in the first place? What, if he comes, Isur Nechasim is a davar pashut. Right, what do you mean? Oh, give this woman Isur Nechasim. She's a girl who wants an Adunya, so well, why is he even sending her? Says the Pnei Yoshua. Lach Orem Milsa de Pshiti, Lukulay Alma. Vinire Shekvar Haisa Nesua. Must be the Chiddush that she was already married, as it says, Hai Itza. Itza says the Pnei Yoshua is usually used for a regular married, an already married woman. The Kamashlan, and you know what the Chiddush is? That he's telling Rav Huna, give her Isur Nechasim even though she's married, meaning like yesterday's daf. Rebbe Shita. Rebbe Shita is that even if Nisei, she still does not lose the Parnassa if she's not Bogaris yet. So that's what he was telling him. V'lafuki midir Shemen Elazar, Dama La'el Basugia, Nisu, Achelo Bagru, Avdu Parnassa son. That's why he asked the question. But then he says, amazing, the Afshar, he says, maybe that's even why Rav Huna got so upset. Because what did Rav Huna say in yesterday's daf? Rav Huna was the one that said, Halacha Karebi, so I know that already. What are you saying this? What, you think you're teaching me something? Rav Huna gufe iu mara d'shmaitza leil, damar Halacha Karebi. That's why he got upset. He says, what are you trying to tell me? One idea. The amazing, putting it together with yesterday's daf. The Maharam Shif here is also bothered by this reaction that Rav Huna had. Ha'afa gadol hazeh. Lo haya nira l'chorem mishum dekari lechavrin derav ana, the chavrin. Derav ana adam gadol haya, ve'elio haya ragel etzlo. We are going to have later on. The Elio Anovi used to talk to Rav Anan. So what, Rav Huna is upset that he's on the level of Rav Anan? He says, no, it must be, you know, from elsewhere, from the Gemara, he quotes the Gemara in Psachim, that Rav Huna, his name was Rav Huna. It wasn't that his name was Huna and he got smicha. His name was Rav Huna. So by only calling him Huna, it's as if, not only are you not calling him by his name, you're like saying it's not appropriate for him to have such a name, he's not worthy to have such a name, even though it's his shame etzem, not a shame toar. So he says that's why maybe he got upset. He's like, he felt he was insulting him and putting him down. That's the Maram Shif on the Gemara. Okay, let's continue. My fourth line. My Marzicha. So what is Marzicha anyway? Avel. It means who sits in the head of an Avel's house. Dichsiv, Kormar Hashem, Al Tavo Beis Mirzach Vagomer. Omar Rav Huna, Minayin Lav Hashem Esav Rosh. How do you know that an Avel sits at the head of the table? Shneamar, Efchar Darkam, Bo Eshev Rosh, Bo Eshkon, Kemelech Bigdud, Kasher Avelim, Yenachem. Like Avelim, so he sits at the head. Somewhere, one second. Yenachem, Achir Mashma. Yenachem sounds like the comforters, not the comforted. So it sounds like the comforters sit at the head of the table. No, Yenucham Ksiv. There are no Nakudos, obviously, so you could be read Yenucham, that he who is comforted, and that's who sits at the front of the table. The Tosafot Rashi here says, the more kavod we give to the Avel, you know, the more hopefully his tsar will go away and we will comfort him. That's why he sits at the head of the table. He's all the way on the side in the corner, then he's still going to be in pain. The svarahu, the islam lameimer hachi, shamanachem in moshiv and esavel barosh lenachemo ulufachu chetzare, right, to weaken his tsar. Marzucha amar mehachem. Marzucha says there's a different pasuk that teaches me that this is means avel. Visar mirzach siruchim. What does that mean? Sar means to turn to. Asura nove ere. Mar vizach naas esar lesruchim. Somebody who's bitter becomes the sar. We darshan sar. We switch the samach and the sin, right? That becomes the prince to the sruchim, to those who are lowly, meaning the avelim, sit at the front of the table. Amar rava, hilchasa, just halacha lamaisi, even though we emphasize collect from karka. We know Nichum Avelim is one of the mitzvahs that characterize Am Yisrael. It's so unique, right? In every other nation, somebody dies, they just move on with their life. The idea of Nichum Avelim is something that is crucial and defining in our religion, right? The Rambam even says that this is, Nicham Avelim is one of the only mitzvahs that we could do, which is both Kavod Achayim and Kavod Ames. Everything else is Kavod Ames. Kvura Pashas is Kavod Ames. I'm sorry, all other mitzvahs, Benan Machaver, are Kavod Achai. But says the Rambam, Nicham Avelim is both. And that's why the Rambam says, Yireli in Hilchas Avel, She Nechames Avelim, Kodim Lebikar Cholim. If you have to go pay a Shiva call and visit somebody in the hospital, first you go pay the Shiva call. She Nicham Avelim, Gimilas Chesed, Im Achayim, Im Amesim. It's both. How do you know? So there's the Miri says, Gemara and Shabbos, that says if there are no Avelim, you still go to the house. You go to the house and make a minion. There's no Avelim. No, it doesn't matter. Nichum, just doing the act of Nichum, is Kavod Hames. And it has both elements, and that's why it is so crucial. The Mishnah's Yavetz, we're not going to get back into it now, but we've quoted a while ago in Siman Lamed Zayin in Yoredeya, has a beautiful piece describing the relationship between Nicham Avelim and Bikur Cholim. And on Yontif, the Gemara about the Anshe Yerushalayim, they used to carry around their lulavs in their hands all day and do Nicham Avelim. What kind of Nicham Avelim? The Rambam says there's no Avelus on Yontif. So he talks there about maybe there's Kavod, there's Nichum, the element of Kavod Ames, even though there's no Kavod Hachai. Weiter. Mishnah. Hamashlish Ma'os Labito. Last Mishnah related to the issues of dowry. If somebody is Mashlish Ma'os Labito, he gives to a third party money that's going to be for his daughter for a dowry. The Heomeris, and she says, Rashi says this is after the Nisuin. Tosfos thinks it's Lodak, because the Gemara says Beferish. After the Nisuin, it's too late. Right? There's no Machlokas, as we're going to have in the Gemara. But she says, around the time of the marriage, maybe right before, Neman Bali Olai, just give it to my husband. I believe him. He's going to act properly with his money. Yaseh Ashlish Mashlish Biyado. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Meir says, no, we don't listen to her. We don't give it to the husband. The Shlish keeps it until she gets married and then buys land with it. And that's it. And that's it stays with her as a principal investment, right? The shlish follows through what he's supposed to do. Rabbi Yossi Omer, v'chi eino el asadeh. What if it was a field? V'ahi rotze lamochra, hari mukhra me'achshav. What do you mean? It's her property. It's her property, lamaisa. If it was a field and she would sell it, wouldn't it be sold? So too, you know, it's all for her good. If it's for her good, so then there's nothing to talk about, and Rabbi Yossi says we give it to her. V'amed v'amur b'gdola, this is all by Agdola, ava b'ktana, ein masa ktana klom. But by ktana, she doesn't have a deya. Tana Rabbanan, so let's expand on this. The Tosefta has a similar formulation. Hamash is most lechasano likach man sada lebito. Somebody gives money to his son-in-law to give the field to the daughter. He omeres not to lebali, and she says, "Give it to my husband." Min anisuin arushus biyada. When nisuin took place already, then she has the rishus. The Shidduch Kabetzah says there's no chash of anything. The marriage not taking place, it already took place, so she gets it. Right, the whole issue of nedunya is to be able to have kof simaleha. And therefore, she's already married. But after Erisin, the Shlish does what he's supposed to do. He keeps it. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Agadola, Bimin Anisun, Bimin Erisin, Rishus Biyada. Agadola always has control. Ktana, Bimin Anisun, Bimin Erisin, Rishus Biyada. And Ktana has no control. My Binayu. So what's the Machlokas? What's the case of Machlokas between Rameir and Rabbi Yossi? One is focused on Gadola, one's focused on Isuin. So, Ilem, a katana min a nisuin, ikibinayu, is the difference, a katana after nisuin. Rabbi Meir, savar, harishus biyadar. Meir says, the focus is nisuin. So, therefore, after nisuin, it's always in her rishus, even if she's a katana. Fiyas Rabbi Yosu lemeimar, no. Afilam an a nisuin, nami, gdola in katana lo. Is that what the machlokas is? A katana min a nisuin? But aim a seifa. But what about the next line? Avo biktana in maisa katana klum. But the last line of our Mishnah said, Uktana is meaningless what she does. Hamaktani law. Who is the author of that line in our Mishnah? Ilem Rabbi Yossi Amaresha Shamas Mina. If it's Rabbi Yossi, we already know Rabbi Yossi from the previous line of the Mishnah. Dam Rabbi Yossi. V'chi ena el asada v'hi rotzel amachari mukhur me'achshav. Rabbi Yossi's whole basis of his svara is that, well, she could do it anyway. Gedola de bazvini in Ktana de la bazvini hi lo. But Ktana can't do it anyway. Ktana has no selling power. So that last line of the Mishnah can't be Rabbi Yossi, because we already know Rabbi Yossi Shita from earlier. Ella, Rabbi Meiri. But it must be Rabbi Meir Shita v'Aksura Maxra v'Akitani. This must be how you understand the last line of the Mishnah. Yasa Shlish Mashlishlish Biyado. The Shlish has to do what he was told to do, says Rabbi Meir. Bamedra Mermin Arison. Ava Minani Suin Arishus Biyado. Minani Suin, she has control. Bamedra Mermin Dola Ava Bakhtana in Maisa Ktana Klum. See, even Rabbi Meir agrees that a Ktana can't do anything. So the Nafgamina between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi can't be Ktana Minani Suin. They both agree a Ktana cannot do anything. Ela gedola min ha'erisin igibei nayu. It must be gedola min ha'erisin. Rabbi Meir says that it is not, the shlish still does what he's supposed to do, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, gedola has power. In marav Yuda marshmua halacha Rabbi Yossi, ravam rav Nachman, halacha k'Rabbi Meir. Just one final point for the day, and that is the Chashuk Yechemet here has a discussion where he quotes the line of our Mishnah. He has a case where a father gave money to his children's school for air conditioning specifically. He wants his kids to be able to learn Torah benachas, and therefore he said this money is only for air conditioning, to buy new air conditioners, to fix them, etc. The father later died, and the school is in dire straits. And some of the Baalei Chovo say to the Hanhala of the school, if you don't give us money, so then we're closing down the school totally. So are they allowed, is the school allowed to take the money that was for the air conditioners and give it? On the one hand, no, it's for the air conditioning, and this isn't for the air conditioning. On the other hand, well, what if they don't pay it? So the whole school's going to close down. And therefore, they're not going to have air conditionings anyway. So he quotes this line over here. She could sell it now. He says a similar idea. He says, and so they'll buy air conditioners. But then the whole school will be sold anyway. So he says, maybe you should, you should say that they can give it to these creditors. He says, but then he says, maybe also, he says, the whole point of the father was that he wanted his kids to learn Torah benachat, but if you close down the school, they won't be learning Torah at all. So those are reasons to say that you should be able to use it. But then he says at the end of the day, it would be very hard to have creditors close down the school. And you know what? This Hanhala would work harder to get money to keep the school open than to get money for the air conditioners. And therefore, he says, if you can, keep the money for the air conditioners and then make them work very, very hard to get money for this, to keep the school open, because he thinks that's the only way that it would work. Either way, he quotes that line from our Mishnah. Okay, we will stop here. But next time, we'll continue with the beginning, the end of the sixth and the beginning of the seventh parak of Maseches Ksubos.